How can you say amen to that detestable name? I can barely stand to hear it uttered. You know who I am, don't you? I became famous when all those letters to my nephew Wormwood were published years ago. You know, by that turncoat named C.S. Lewis. Of course, he really wasn't the author. He plagiarized my work. Only I, the incomparable Screwtape, could have written such insightful words of advice to a novice tempter. But I'm not here to rest on my laurels. I'd never do that. Or to share with you more of the sage advice I gave long ago to my dear nephew. No, today I must recount for you a dreadful moment for my father below, the one you derisively call the devil. This should have been his day, a day that would have lived in infamy. After all, his opponent was so weak, that man Jesus whom you worship as though he were a god. He should have been such easy prey, and yet somehow he slipped right through my master's fingers. The setting was perfect. My master had him just where he wanted him, out there in the wilderness, all alone, cut off from his friends and his admirers. And he was hungry, starving hungry. For 40 days, my father below pecked away at him, looking for an opening as to how he might bring him over to our side. And then at the end of those 40 days, he launched his final assaults. If you are the Son of God, oh, those detestable words. How could we even concede that this man, this contemptible man, might be God's son? But if you are, my father below continued, he challenged and said, then prove it. If this supposed God in the heavens once rained down bread upon his children in the wilderness, well, then surely he could do it again and satisfy the hunger of his only son, all alone out there in the wilderness. Indeed, the son ought to have been able to do it himself, and it would have been so easy and simple if only Jesus had taken the bait. Why was he unwilling to save himself? He didn't shy away from using his power later on when he fed thousands with just a few small loaves. What was so important about resisting my father's appeal? Instead, why did he not rebel against his father? It was his spirit, after all, who had led your Jesus into the wilderness in the first place. Clearly, your father above was not looking out for the best interests of his son. To press that point home, my father moved on and made an even better offer. With an impressive display of his vast power, he set before Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. In an instant, he saw it all. That must have been intoxicating. And then came the offer. To you, I'll give it all. Just bow down and worship me. Was that really too much to ask? Your Jesus claims to be the Son of God, the only one, the one by whom all things were made. Yet he chooses not to lay hold of any of the authority that supposedly is his. My father below offered to change all that. Yet the only thanks he got was some pious platitude about worshiping and serving the Lord God. So my father gave him one more chance, this time taking him to the great temple in Jerusalem, the place where those disgusting, bloody sacrifices had been offered for centuries. Everyone knows that those sacrifices really did nothing. If Jesus was going to be subservient to his father, well then, why not put his father to the test to see just how good and gracious he was? So once more, my father made that detestable concession. If you are the Son of God, again, I cannot stand to hear it spoken. But that's what the voice from the cloud claimed. This is my beloved son. Well, then, why not put the father to the test and see just how beloved a son he was? At this point, my father pulls a fast one on your master and does the same thing he kept doing to my father by quoting from those writings that you hold to be sacred. Isn't it said that your God will send his angels to guard you, to keep you. Well, try it out if you're really the Son of God. Throw yourself down. That didn't work either. Indeed, my father below was so confounded by the irrational thought of your Savior that he had to leave the scene and wait for another opportunity. But the time would come, and for the next 3 years he sought every opportunity he could to go after him again, using the religious leaders as they would oppose Jesus, and sometimes even your master's own admirers, who sometimes themselves were ready to do my father's bidding. But then the opportune time finally came, when my father below skillfully arranged all the players and set his grand trap for your master. It didn't hurt that your Jesus was so compliant. Just as in the wilderness, he could have resisted at every turn, yet he didn't. Like a dumb lamb being led to slaughter, he went willingly, even silently. And though he could have summoned legions of angels to take up arms against us, he chose to bear the cross and scorn its shame, as though somehow that were the noble thing to do. At last we had him, or so we thought. But what should have been my father's greatest moment became instead his day of horror. Very quickly, it became evident that he had, as you would say, bitten off more than he could chew. Oh, to all appearances, the sight was glorious. A corpse hanging from a tree of shame. A dead body. My father's trophy. And gathered around were weeping admirers who somberly carried their defeated master to his grave and closed it shut with a large stone, sealing him in forever. But already then, my father knew that something was terribly wrong, that this splendid victory, in fact, was a sham. Already then, my father began losing his grip. How else could we explain the graves being broken open and the dead coming to life? And then having this confirmed 3 days later with your master himself doing the same thing, coming to life. We had him trapped in the jaws of death, yet he escaped and was free. The one who my master had laid low had turned the tables on us and was now routing our forces as only a mighty victor could do. Since that ignoble defeat, my master has come to realize just how dire the situation is for all us tempters. Not only did your master conquer us, he shares his victory with you, his admirers. He invites you to see in his wounds not death, but life. And he promises you that he will fight for you in your daily struggles. Such insanity is more than we can bear, but not so much that we're going to give up on you. Indeed, my father below continues to rally all of his tempters and sends us forth to carry on the battle. Thank you for making it so easy for us. Doubting your own master's promises, spurning the gifts he so freely gives, wallowing in self-pity one day and then basking in self-confidence the next. You're easy targets. We will come after you. So go ahead. Put your amen to that detestable name, because he's the only hope you have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.